You just walked off today. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Now, a few verses of scripture we want to share with you before we go to Revelation 3, beginning at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Paul was writing to the people in Thessalonica, and he said in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Amen. He was taking the position that they was aware, amen, of the time, of what was going on, and what was happening. And the Lord gives us warnings and instructions all throughout his word. Amen. Verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night."
All right, yeah.
Think about that for a moment as we contemplate our subject that we gave you today. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. But he says here when he wrote to the Thessalonians that the day of the Lord, amen, is coming as a thief in the night.
Mm-hmm.
A thief in the night. How many of you have gotten an email from a thief saying, "I'm going to break in your house tonight"? How many of us got a text message from a thief saying, "I'm going to break in tonight. I heard you were going to be out of town, so I'm going to break in"? No, a thief does not warn you. Amen. The thief, as a matter of fact, depends upon you being away or surprised. Amen. So, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, "Ye know perfectly," or "ye know completely." Evidently, these are some things that they had gone over. Mm-hmm. And many things, people of God, that we go over from week to week or month to month or maybe year in and year out, we will touch on subjects that we touched before. But sometimes we forget. And then sometimes there are new people in your congregation. So this is why it is the responsibility of the pastor sometimes to be repetitious in his message and in his teaching. While you may say it's old, and I know that, it may be some new member that is just getting in. They're like saying, "Wow, man, that is so great what Pastor talked today."
Mm-hmm.
So this is why God unctions at pastors and teachers and leaders. Sometimes we must be repetitious in our teaching. So it seems that Paul had told the people in Thessalonica, "Look, the Lord is coming as a thief in the night." And so here he seems to be reiterating that. He says, "You know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Mm-hmm. Amen. In other words, he's really talking about being prepared.
Yeah.
Being ready when the Lord comes.
Amen.
Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, a couple of verses in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3 and verse 4. It says, "Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming?" See, Paul and others wrote years ago in what we read now as the New Testament, and they talked about the coming of Christ. And they made reference in those times with the mindset that Christ could come any day in their time. And so he has not come, and now here we are years later, we're still talking about Christ is going to come. So some scoffer, amen, is saying within himself, the scoffer is someone that makes fun or ridicules your beliefs or your actions. The scoffer is saying, "Well, where is this Jesus? Where is this Jesus?" It's because since the fathers fell asleep, verse 4 says, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they're saying, look, I remember my granddaddy used to talk about Jesus was coming. I ain't seen him. So they said, where is he? But listen, beloved, the promises of God are sure.
Amen.
If the Lord says in his word, amen, he's going to bring it to pass. We have to understand that our time is not his time. And his time is the time that counts. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And as I said, because we have heard of this story so long, it gets boring to us. But I often think about Noah building that ark and preaching about rain.
Amen.
We read that story many times in the book of Genesis. God commissioned Noah, said, look, build an ark. I'm going to cause it to rain.
Amen.
And Noah, amen, he sets out to build this ark. And I mean, this is some gigantic cruise ship.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is a humongous vessel. But Noah, amen, continued to build on that ark for a number of years. And all through that time, periodically he was telling the people, it's going to rain.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that because it had not rained, many people just made fun of Noah.
Right.
And they didn't take him seriously.
That's right.
So, you know, I was meditating on that, and I said to myself, you know, Noah, he had to feel discouraged sometimes. Maybe not every day, but sometime he had to have a bad day. You know, when he was bending nails and hitting his finger and folk were laughing at him anyway. He had to feel discouraged sometime, but he didn't stop. Hallelujah. He did not stop. And so we know the story. Amen. Once the ark was completed, the Lord told Noah what beast to bring in the ark. And then he told him to get your wife, your three sons, and their wives, and come on in the ark.
That's right.
Amen. And the Bible says when all that took place, then it started to rain.
Amen.
My God. God's word came to pass. It took a while, but it came to pass. So I just say that, beloved, so to say that when we talk about, amen, the coming of the Lord is going to come to pass.
Amen.
Whether I believe it or not, whether I see it in my physical lifetime or not, is going to come to pass.
Amen.
Whether I be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, or the trumpet sound and I rise from my grave, amen, the Lord is coming back.
Amen.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, having said that, now let's look at what John wrote here in the book of Revelation. We know that these first three chapters are, or basically chapter 2 and 3, are letters that John wrote on the unction of the Holy Ghost to 7 churches.
Yes.
And so he writes this letter to the angel, which it would be the leader, or you call the pastor or whatever, of the church in Sardis. It was not written to the entire city. It was written to the church.
Amen.
And look what he said. These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God, meaning completion. Amen. God complete. And the 7 stars. Now the 7 stars, amen, was the churches.
Amen.
It says, I know thy works. Just think about that for a moment. Just think about that for a moment. The Lord knows your work.
Yes, he does.
Now, he's not talking about what you're doing for whatever company you work for. He's not talking about that. It's not the work he's talking about. He's talking about the work that you're doing or not doing for the kingdom. This is the work that he's talking about. He knows. Amen. The Lord is really not interested in where you are employed physically. That's not impressive to God. We use things like that to impress people. Or, you know, I work at so-and-so. And we're trying to impress people, but God is not impressed. God is saying, like so. But he said, I know thy works. What have you done for my kingdom? And I thought about that, beloved, because a lot of times, allow me to say this, people say, my church. I love my church. This is my church. So, you know, I'm speaking honestly. I'm just repeating some of your words. What are you doing for your church? Are you tithing in your church? Are you coming to Bible class in your church? Come on, But my point is really, you know, to really level it out. What are you doing to further, seriously, your church where you're going? Do you love it past your time? You see, I love Fairview past my time. That's why I'm teaching you that hopefully it will be somebody around here to carry on if the Lord tarries and they have to plant me somewhere.
That's right.
I don't like to talk about dying, do you? And we go to something else. But he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest. He said, and are dead. You think you're living, but the Lord sees you as dead. You got a name for yourself that you're living, but you are dead. Amen. We shared that scripture a few Sundays ago, I believe, over in the book of Genesis when the people of God were going to build the tower. Amen. And they said, let us make us a name for ourselves.
That's right.
Amen. See, we must have big shot in the church, supposedly. But the Lord said you did.
Amen.
Because your works have not demonstrated or have not matched your profession. Can I say that? Your works have not matched your profession. So he says, I know thy works. But here's what he says in verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Oh my God. Some things are dead, but not everything. Hallelujah. This is why, amen, we have to do our spiritual exercise sometimes. It said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Some people in the church are on life support.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. They're ready to die. They're not seeking God. They're not seeking the ways of God. Unfortunately, sometimes people have a lot of stuff built up in them, and the stuff is killing them. And they just don't like support. But here's what he says. He says, be watchful. He told this to the church at Sardis. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. So, once again, this is the responsibility of the pastor. Amen. Is to feed the church with the word of God. That in hopes, amen, people would come back alive.
All right,
man,
all right.
Huh? That they would be able to get off life support.
Amen.
Glory be to God. It says, strengthen. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Glory be to God. In St. John chapter 15, I believe it is, when it talks about, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband man. Christ talks about the importance of abiding in him.
Yeah, right.
He said, if a man doesn't abide in me, he can't make it. And I'm paraphrasing. You won't find those exact words. But he says, abide in me and I in you.
That's right, man.
For if we choose not to abide in Christ, if we choose not to attach ourselves to Christ, then Christ does not attach himself to us. Now, his grace and his mercy is still there. Just like we were talking about in our Sunday school. The young boy took the thing from home, went off, and just spent it, blew it, wasted it. But his father, we believe, was continually at home each day looking for him. Looking for him. So the Lord is still standing with his arm wide open. Even though we reject him, even though we turn him down, he's still there with his arm wide open. And whosoever will. Glory to God. Strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. He says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Perfect here meaning complete. Amen. This is why there is really, amen, as long as we have breath in our body, there's really no retiring in the Lord. There is always something that we can do. Glory to God. I believe that even after we get a certain age, we can be a prayer warrior. My God, because she can sit around in the chair and pray. Hallelujah. Amen. It don't take a whole lot of physicality to pray. Oh, we do it sometimes, you know, because we're young. But one of these days, maybe we'll be able to do it, but still pray. Because at the end of the day, the Lord is looking at the heart. Hallelujah. He, once again, he's not necessarily impressed with all the gyrations that we do. We just get something out of that. Just make us feel good like we really done something. But if that's not coming from the heart, the Lord is saying, like, where you sit down. Your work is not complete. There is always something for us to do together. Let me say to our elderly people, I know you have some aches and pains, and you have arthritis and rheumatism and all of these things. And while I do not know the extent of the pain it can cause, I believe you if you say you are hurting. But you can pray. You know, if you just say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord, and the church. Have mercy on me, God. God, I'm hurting. Help me. Help the church. You can pray. Glory to God. You don't have to let the enemy fool you just to go into retirement and do nothing. Can I help you today? Glory to God. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help you. I'm being watchful. I'm trying to strengthen the things that remain. Glory be to God. The things that are not ready to die. Amen. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. This is what he's telling the church. The church in Sardis, he's telling them to repent. Now, here's one thing I want us to understand about Sardis. It was a city that had a very famous past, but at the time of this writing, it had a declining future. And the reason that the future was declining was because, amen, there was a wall around Sardis, and we know that the city back in Bible time, this was part of their protection, a wall. And the wall seemed to be impregnable. In other words, it seemed to be that no one could conquer it. But because of the, the guards falling asleep, the city was attacked on two different times.
Yeah.
Amen. One time was in 549 B.C. by Cyrus, and another time was in 218 B.C. by Antiochus. Amen. This was about 331 years apart. But they were attacked because they believed that their city was impregnable. They believed that their walls, can't nobody get over our walls. And so at some point, the guards went to sleep. When the guards went to sleep, that's when the enemy slipped in.
Amen.
Glory to God. And they conquered the city. Now, just like the thief we mentioned earlier, amen, the element of surprise is what, amen, the enemy depended upon. I don't know whether they was observing the people of Sardis for some time and saw that they were becoming relaxed in their position or what. But for whatever reason, after a while, they would scale that high wall, amen, and attack the city and bring them into captivity.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is why you have to watch, and this is why we believe that they use the word, amen, in the address to them, is to watch, because they had been defeated because someone did not watch. Glory to God. Now, verse 3. If therefore thou shalt not watch. If you don't watch, the Lord is telling them, if you don't watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Once again, thief does not telegraph his intentions. He doesn't sit out on your porch. And when you leave, he says, I'm a thief. I'm gonna break in just so y'all drive down the road. But he does not tell you his intentions. He depends upon the element of surprise. Glory to God. So he said, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This is why, amen, my subject is simply this. Jesus is coming back. Watch and be ready. He's coming back. I'm not trying to nail down the day. Glory to God. The Bible did not tell us to nail down the day, but it gave us certain signs. Amen. That we ought to be cognizant of. And in doing so, then we know it ain't long. It's not long. I'm not going to say he's going to come next Thursday. Because many men down through the years have given over to predicting times only to be made a lie. Because God says, no man know the day nor the hour. What are we going to do then? Why do we go into God's word and we want to point out a day when his word says, no man knows the day? But sometimes we try to get smarter than the Lord. But he said, thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names. Now here's a word of encouragement. You got a few there in the church which have not defiled their garments. Amen. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Look at the words here. The Lord says they are worthy. They are going to walk with me in white because they are worthy. They have not defiled. Listen, it is a challenge.
Come on, preacher.
It is a challenge to be prosperous and live godly. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's a challenge. Because generally, and I've seen this more times go negative than I have seen positive, is that when people begin to prosper, then their diligence and their accountability and all of this that was to the Lord begins to wane. I've seen it more times go that way than to remain stable. Now, I have seen it. People love the Lord and they begin to prosper and they stay evil. To look at them, you never know that they were prospering. Because they still come to church, that they're still doing the thing that they were doing years ago. But I haven't seen a whole lot of them. But I have seen a lot when people begin to prosper, then their allegiance to God begins to suffer. Because they get hypnotized by their prosperity. It's just a warning. I'm not saying give up your job where we're paying $25 an hour. I'm not saying give it up. I'm just saying it's a challenge for you. You're going to have to make intentional efforts to remain faithful to God. Because when the big bucks start coming in, it creates a false sense of security. I don't need to go down there and pray for God to help me pay my bill. I can pay my bill now. And put some in the bank. Where before, when you was scraping and scrambling, the door was open. You in the prayer line, the prayer meeting and everything. You said, oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. I love God. God is so good. And all, you know, we just wait for our ship to come in. As soon as our ship come in, we start standing in the back of the altar. Huh? The next thing you know, we're standing on the back next to the door. Our allegiance, honestly, people of God. I'm 65 years old. I've been in the church. I mean, really been in the church since I was about 20. I was in that before the end, but you know, teenage years, y'all know how they go. But about 20, I started settling down and I started observing. I didn't just come into church 5 years ago. I'm speaking some things as a leader from experience, what I have observed down through the years. Listen, I'm not telling you you can't have money and be faithful. I just said it was a challenge. Y'all hear me right now?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Because it says here, there's a few names. There's a few that did not defile their garments. And they shall walk with me in white. Amen. For they are worthy. Let me close out here. He that overcometh, tell you later, I'm an overcomer. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. As I was meditating on this message, my mind went all the way back to a trip my wife and I made once to one of those timeshare properties. And you know, when you go there, you pull up to the gate and you have to give your name. Huh?
Amen.
I remember we went to this one this time, and when we pulled up to the gate and I gave the man my name, he said, Larry Robinson? We don't have no Larry Robinson. Excuse me, we're just kidding. But when he first said it, y'all get what I'm saying? When he first said it, just that split second, man, my heart fell. Because we done drove a long ways for one thing. And the anticipation of getting there, and for that split second when he said, we don't have no Larry Robinson. Yes, we do, Mr. Robinson. I said, wow. But I just recall that to say, having your name blotted out. That's a song I heard a long time ago. The songwriter said, search the books again. He was saying that you done call and roll, but ain't heard my name. You know, we said these things like when they call and roll up young, I don't know how much. You know, it's in that. And the Bible talks about being raptured, so I don't know about the roll call and all of that. But I think the symbolism is what we have to look at. And so, you know, the song says, search the book again. Because he done called the roll, and he ain't called my name. Now, I'm standing here waiting to go through the gates, and, you know, the pearly gates, and across the Jordan River, and all these symbols that we use for going to heaven. You know, cross over into Canaan. You know, I'm standing here waiting to cross over to Canaan, and he called my name. Search the book again. Yeah. You sure?
Jesus.
You can't find Larry there nowhere.
Yeah.
Maybe just spell it Robinson. You just spell it when I was, you know, when I'm back on earth. Just spell it. But he says here, listen, look at this. He says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot out his name. Let's look over here for a minute. I think I got this. Revelations chapter 20. Revelations chapter 20. We're going to look at this and just a couple more things. Just wanted to talk to you today because, as I said, my heart, amen, was just going out for the events that are taking place in our world. And we, amen, the people of God, just got to get serious. We've got to get serious. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 12. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in my elaboration of this. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. So this book of life. Hallelujah. We have clerks and secretaries and people of this caliber to keep a roll of the local congregation. But who's keeping the roll on the book of life? No, that is not left up to humans. It's not left up to humans to keep the roll for the book of life. Amen. God is in charge. Glory be to God. And this is something, beloved, amen, that I want us to think about. This is something that I want us, amen, to keep in our minds. Glory to God. He that overcometh. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Amen. Glory to God. What kind of ear is this? It's not just the natural ear. Amen. But it's the spiritual ear. Glory to God. And how can we tell when someone have heard the word of God? We can tell when they have heard the word of God by their actions. Amen. If they reject it, meaning they did not hear it. And hearing means here, it takes in also understanding.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. And the writer of, and John wrote this letter. And he directed it to the church in Sardis. And the whole town had experienced prosperity. And by that happening, amen, the people in the church at Sardis, they worked in some of the industries as well. Just as we do today. We work in some of the industries, amen, in our area. Whether it be Danville, Greensboro, Lynchburg, Roanoke, Chatham, or wherever. In the areas we are employed there, amen, and the income may be a good income. But we've got to stay balanced. Glory to God. We can't get all, amen, all up in the air and forgetting about the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Because time is still ticking.
Yes,
sir. Glory to God. No matter what we are about, time is just still ticking on by. Glory be to God. And if the Lord tarries, each one of us in here has an expiration date. I know, see, we don't like to talk about these things, but sometimes we just have to talk about it. We can't pretend that they're not there and people are walking out on God and people, amen, are leaving the church. So we can't just pretend that it's not there. It is there. People are being enticed by the world. Church folk that have been in the church for a number of years are being persuaded to leave the church. Don't keep going down there fooling with them people. Get out and have yourself a good time. But Jesus is coming back. Glory to God. He told, amen, the angel told the disciples in Acts 1 and 11, I believe it is, it said, the same Jesus.
Yeah.
Woo! My God. Thank you, Jesus. You see, Jesus had told his disciples to, you know, when he rose, that he had this 40-day time with them. But then he took them out, and they saw him go up. And they were standing there looking up at him. Looking at him, going out of sight. And then the angel appeared and said, the same Jesus whom you see going up. That's what's in the word of God. Acts 1 and 11. I believe I'm right about that. I think that's what Acts 1 and 11 said. The same Jesus whom you see going up.
Amen.
He's going to come again. He's going to come. He's going. You see him going, he's going to come. You see him going, the same Jesus. Glory be to God. That you see going. You guys standing there looking, the same Jesus that you see going is coming back. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And if he's coming back, thank you, God. Amen. He warned the church. He warns us today that we are to be ready. Because he's coming back, even as he warned the church there in Sardis. And we read to you there over in the book of Thessalonians and many other, amen, New Testament writing. It talks about Christ coming back as a thief in the night. Glory be to God. And anyone in here that have had their home broken into, if you had known when the thief was coming, he couldn't have broke in because you would have been there. We've had some break-ins in the old church.
Right.
If we had known when they were going to come, hey, maybe they would have broke in because we've been sitting down waiting for them. But we didn't know. Y'all get what I'm saying now? Jesus is saying, I'm coming back at the hour you think not. This is why we got to be sober.
Amen. Come on now.
Glory to God. We cannot afford to be entangled in the world. I didn't say we cannot afford to go to the grocery store. I didn't say we cannot afford to go to some theme park. I didn't say we cannot afford to go to the beach. I said we cannot afford to get all tangled up in it. Until this is the driving force in our life. I'm working so I can go on vacation. They said nothing about God. Now we got tangled up now, see. We got our signals crossed. I'm working because I want to go to the theme park this summer. They said nothing about, you know, your pledges in your church and your tithes and all. I'm just working because I want to go to the park.
Great.
Huh?
Come on now.
We have gotten tangled up in the world. And some people, unfortunately, amen, it happens right in the church.
Amen.
Because sometimes we rub elbows with those at work and they talk about how good a time they had at such and such place. And we just fantasize them in our mind. If I could go. Huh? And then they tell you, you know, because sometimes they you know, you can get up these trips and things, you know, you can get a kind of reduced rate package. You know, you can go as a group. And I'm not against these things. All of these things are great opportunities for you to go. But I'm saying don't get tangled up in it until that's what's driving you.
All right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Don't forget to be excited like David when David said, I will glad.
Yeah.
When they said unto me,
yeah.
This should be the driving force.
Yeah.
Glory to God, when our eyes come open on Sunday. Oh my God, today is Sunday.
Yeah,
oh, hallelujah. Let me put my clothes on. You're going to have me today. We ought to be excited about it, beloved. But I'm not coming to church like if you know a life sentence. I'm not in here, I'll tell you. Oh, David said, I was glad when they said, let us go. Then on another occasion, he said, enter.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Oh, my God, I'm getting happy. And I just want to talk today. So I'm going to cut it off. Because, amen. They just wanted me to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a chance, read Matthew chapter 25. A few verses there. It talks about the 10 virgins.
That's right.
I'm going to give you a quick overview because it's in me, so I got to say it. The 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They were all wise. They were all virgins. Say virgin means pure. They were all pure. They were all invited to go out and meet the bridegroom.
That's right.
Amen. 5 were wise. They took the lamps, and then they took extra oil in another vessel.
Yeah.
The 5 foolish just had oil in the one vessel. And it said that they all slept. A couple of times that all 10 of them went to sleep because it said the bridegroom tarried. It meant, what it meant was it took the bridegroom a little bit longer to come than their anticipation. So they went to sleep. All 10 of them went to sleep. But the Bible said, there we go, unexpected time, at midnight. It said, at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go out to meet him. So all 10 of them woke up. And when they woke up, the 5 foolish, their lights had gone out. So they said to the wife, hey, can y'all give us some oil? Because our lamps are going out. They said, oh, I'm sorry. But if we give y'all something, we're not going to have enough for ourselves. Huh? So you got to go to them that buy. You got to go to them that sell and buy for yourself. And so the Bible says, while the foolish were gone to buy oil, the door was open for the celebration. And the 5 wives went on in for the celebration. And when they went in, the door was shut. Glory to God. The door was shut. My God, the celebration begins. Now here comes the foolish knocking on the door. Lord, Lord, open unto us. Door shut. The door was shut.
Yeah, amen.
Just like it was when Noah built the ark. When Noah got that ark completed, the Lord said, you go in, I'm going to close the door.
Amen.
I'm going to, oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. While you have an opportunity, you need to open the door. Talking about preaching. Well, on down, I think in chapter 3, I hadn't intended to go there, but God just put it in my spirit. In chapter 3 of Revelation, on down, chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So now, you know, it's time for us to open the door and let him in. Because when he closed the door, that's going to be it. That's going to be the ball game. My granddaddy used to say, that's all she wrote. When the Lord told the door, that's going to be all she wrote. And I'm saying to you today, amen, once again, from the bottom of my heart, as I have reflected on all the tragedies and look like each week, conditions and things get worse and worse. And don't say, that where you live can't be flooded. Let's go back to Genesis again. It says, after 40 days of rain, the mountaintops were covered. Huh? Do you live on the mountaintop? That's the highest peak we can get. But it says in the book of Genesis, after 40 days and nights of rain, it says the mountaintops were covered. So don't say you live where it can't be flooded. Never underestimate the power of God. Stand with us today. Come on. God bless you. Can you bless God with a hand? Praise God. Somebody here today, can you really seriously consider, amen, the message that we have shared with you? Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Or if he continues to stand with his arms wide open, saying, whosoever will. But he's not chasing anybody. Or if he's pleading, amen, in terms of waiting. And he allowed us as his servants to say, please, won't you come to Christ? Won't you surrender and live for Jesus? It's not the bore, amen, and the light void of excitement that you might think. Oh, it's still exciting. Glory to God. We have people here, amen, that, you know, we do exciting jobs and we go exciting places. It's not just boring. We just come here to fab you and go back home. We enjoy things in life. God is not out to put you on a ship of boredom.
All right.
He's just asking you to balance your life. Give him what's due him. Glory be to God. Is there